Good day, everyone, and welcome to Briefs, Our Blue Bahamas podcast, where we talk about issues related to the conservation of our Bahamian environment that sustains our way of life. I'm your host, Crystal, with Heather and Jasmine today, and we are discussing plastic tide, the fight against marine pollution, with our very special guest, Ava Turnquest, who's the co-founder of BeachLink 242. Welcome, Ava.
Hi, Crystal, and hello, Heather and Jasmine and Bahamas. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm excited to talk about the BeachLink project.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about yourself, Ava, and how you got into conservation.
So it's sort of like a waterfall, right? You do one thing and then it leads you into another thing. So about 2 summers ago, I started a summer camp for focused primarily on teaching the Sustainable Development Goals through hands-on sort of kid-led learning and activities. And that led us to partner with Brief, and that's been a really exciting development. But through working with the camp and also getting connected with the Organization for Responsible Governance, I met my co-founder, Ariana Wells, and she came to me with this idea. She said, this would have been probably a couple of weeks before New Year's last year, and she said, I want to clean the beach, but I want to clean all the beaches at the same time and get everyone to clean the beaches at the same time. And I said, well, wait, how, you know, and she's like, do you think that's crazy? And I said, no, actually, that might actually be a really cool initiative and a way to get more people, you know, that'll be the sort of, the not gimmick, but like, that'll be the sell of it. It's 10 beaches across the entire New Providence, everyone cleaning the beach at the same time. That's crazy, let's try it. And so that was how the BeachLink project was born, and we brought on another good friend and partner as a logistician, Samia, and we really hit the ground running. We knew that the way to go was to partner with groups that are already on the ground doing the work, and so we reached out to the BNT, we reached out to Brief, we reached out to see how could we do something that would not take away from any ongoing initiatives, because I think that's in the NGO space, we're often fighting for the same number of volunteers. And so getting the whole ethos of the BeachLink project is to increase awareness, but to also bring back the community into community action. And Ariana had this really clear vision that Bahamians enjoy the beach, and how do we enjoy the beach by also taking care of the beach? How do we teach responsible beach activities, way that we go to the beach and take advantage of all the beauty that we have around us without it being, when we leave, we're you know, damaging it even further, you know? So how do we, and then the way to do that, or her belief is the way to do that is by having fun, by throwing a party, by getting everyone together and allowing them to just catch a lime. And so that's what the BeachLink project is in its sort of inherent nature, is just about the community and community action and sort of bringing back the meaning about why we're protecting the beaches, which is so we have these beaches to enjoy with our families and with our friends for many years to come, you know. And so centering that was what, you know, pretty much a big part of that.
Thank you so much for that, Ava. That was an awesome introduction into our topic. I love how you spoke about action, people taking action, civic action, and also collaboration with other NGOs like Brief. But today we're talking about the dangers of plastic pollution and the importance of beach cleanups. So Ava, can you share some of the key impacts of plastic pollution on our beaches and our oceans?
Well, for me, I'm not a scientist, but I think the easiest way that I can understand it and the way that, you know, I teach my children is plastic doesn't go, anything that you throw away doesn't just disappear. If you put it into your garbage, you don't see it anymore. But if you take it outside to your house and the dogs get in it, then it's all over your front yard, right? That's the most simplest way of that we interact with our trash. But once it leaves your yard, it's going somewhere. Either it's going to the landfill, or it's going to, well, it should go to the landfill, hopefully, right? But we know that that track is not always the most secure. And so it's important to think about everything that you use as has also a life cycle, just like you. So that your plastic yogurt cup has a lifespan, and that's going to be around longer than you, right? And when it breaks down or when it degrades, it turns into microplastics. And what do those microplastics end up? In our water supply, in our back into our environment. And while you know, me or you can't see microplastics. There are organisms that are living in the oceans that are engaging with these microplastics that are being heavily impacted on a greater scale than we will be. But I think studies have shown now that we're testing our blood and finding that the human beings have a high number of microplastics inside our own bodies now. Mm-hmm. And you know, and we think about that latent health effect. Wow. So it's incredibly important. What are we doing with our plastic? And I know, and this is something that for me personally, it's about, I think it's hard to, when everything is packaged, anything that is cost effective is most likely using plastic.
Right.
Things that use more sustainable materials tend to cost more. And so I think a great part of advocacy is also on raising the awareness to bring down the cost of sustainable, to make it easier for people to use alternatives to plastic. We're not there mm-hmm. yet, but I think by getting more people involved, mm-hmm. you know, capitalism is like supply and demand. We increase mm-hmm. that demand, we could bring down the cost, you know, and this is my simple understanding, because yeah, I don't have any technical expertise, mm-hmm. you know.
But you know what I love, what you said, is how, you know, a lot of persons believe that if you throw away garbage, it disappears. And at some of our road shows, when we interact with kids, we have this little game, like guess how long it takes for this to break down, and we have the kids guess how long it takes to break down, and the reaction is the same all the time. They're mind blown that it takes something about 600 years or 500 years or 20 years for just something that they would see every day, that they interact daily, just to break down. Mm-hmm. If that ends
or
up in the ocean,
or things that they throw away on a regular basis. You know,
so it's like although, you know, it's trash, and you know, waste management isn't something that we think about every day, but having those, you know, just like those little things, those conversational starters are so important. So I just love when you said, like, how mm-hmm. you teach that to your kids and mm-hmm. you know, bring them to have an awareness of how plastic
how we interact with plastic. And so 12, I got some statistics here, 12 million tons of plastic finds its way into the ocean every single year. That is the world over, right? Could you imagine that? It's so hard to really grasp, right? Mm-hmm. To mentally grasp, to understand, but it is so much that we're doing. And so that's, you know, on the global scale, but in the Bahamas, as a coastal nation, right, this is something that we need to be very aware of and we need to worry about, right? It is something that should raise an alarm bell in our heads, and we need to say, hey, how are we tackling this? So we know that in this way, the beach cleanups can be effective.
Of course.
Right? And I think the Bahamas the Bahamas has done pretty good, right? Because you go, and I didn't really notice it until recently. I went to the States and everything was in these plastic bags. And I'm just like, huh? You know, like it was so weird for me to see. And I was just like, oh yeah, they still use plastic bags here, because in 2020 we had the plastic ban, right, on the four single-use plastics, right? It was plastic grocery bags, straws, plates and forks, and what else? It was plates, forks, and bags. And then all styrofoam, basically, which is like extremely terrible.
And you know, I still see a lot of those items being circulated nowadays.
I don't know. This is just we'll have to look this up, guys. And I really encourage our audience to look this up too. There, it seems like these things are still in rotation in a way, but they just slap like a sustainability biodegradable sticker on it. Yeah, but it's, you know,
we don't actually have the facilities to recycle those.
Exactly.
So it's the same materials you got before. It's the same problem.
Yeah, so we've made a little bit of progress there, mm-hmm. but there's still more room for us to, you know, get better at this while also trying to find that, what do you call it? Like that middle ground mm-hmm. with the convenience and the price, because right. now reusable and also sanitation, right? Because now the non-reusable items that we purchase from the store is 2 and 3 times the price of the non-sustainable ones, right? And then you can't bring them in either because it's illegal. So we have to find a way to make it more affordable so that it's more practical, right? For people to jump on and say, yes, we're going to do this. And a part of it is also education, too.
And what I like to tell persons, too, is you can start small because sometimes it can feel a little bit overwhelming. For example, a lot of times I would just say, you know, buy a water bottle, a reusable water bottle. And I think about last week, a teacher called me. She was a part of our eco schools or trying to get into the eco. I don't remember all of the details, but she was like, I'm so excited that I'm doing this. Could you believe we ordered 4,000 water bottles for the year? And she was just mind blown on if everyone just had a reusable water bottle, how much less plastic that would be. Mm-hmm. And then also, too, resorting to more eco friendly practices like cooking, mm-hmm. and instead of eating out. And then also when you order takeout, because I know sometimes we do like to order our takeout, if you're going home, you could say, oh no, I don't need this, I don't need that. And sometimes
I don't need a fork, I don't need a straw,
right? So, and sometimes I find myself being that person, like when I exit a location, I have so much things in my hand, but it's just like a moment of inconvenience. Mm-hmm. And just put it inside the car, I just forget about it anyway, you know. Mm-hmm. What is an extra step, you know, getting my steps in. So you can really do small changes to actually try to get your plastic consumption lower.
And mm-hmm. if I could add, it's interesting how, at least I find it's really interesting how as the you know, as society progresses, we're, you know, in the 21st century, we're in this modern world, but all of the actions that take us to where we're trying to go in terms of the goals are all rooted in community, like farmers markets, like buying in bulk. Maybe your family can put together, maybe you can't afford to bring these items in yourself, and maybe you can get some friends and family, we'll put up together, we'll get a pallet, and we'll bring in some wholesale bulk items. Mm. All these things are sort of rooted in community. How are we getting back in touch with each other to allow us, and sort of a conditioning. So it is inconvenient. Making these direct shifts is inconvenient, but when you're doing it as a group, it's so much, it eases that burden, because if you think about it, buying reusable forks for a family barbecue is a cost. But if we're all on, if my family, we've all committed to this eco or green or being more sustainable, we say, hey, everyone bring your bowl, bring your forks, and we'll have some forks here, but bring something. And then we take, that's a cost that you don't have to spend anymore. Right. Mm-hmm. And most of those plates and forks, they just live in your cupboard until you have the next family garden. Sometimes you'll find forks that you had from something you did like a year ago, and it's just a big bag of the plastic stuff or whatever.
And don't let them get contaminated in a hurricane or if roaches or whatever, you know, then you can't use them anymore anyway. And it's just more trash that's never been used in the garbage again, right?
So I would say don't go it alone. If you're going to make a change, if you're going to make any sort of change, they always tell you find a friend, they'll keep you accountable. You go into the gym or you want to lose weight, go with a, they'll tell you, get your, who are you going with? You need a gym buddy or a gym partner.
Always.
So I think it's the same way with being more sustainable. Find a sustainability partner and y'all hold each other accountable to make sure, you know, you're talking in the morning, do you have your water bottle packed? Because you know you're going to need that throughout the day, so you don't be buying waters everywhere.
And if you like notice that. Just go to clean out your car. A bunch of water bottles. Like before I committed to the, you know, reusable water bottle, and it's trending now too. There's a lot of like the Stanley cups and the other types of, they have so much more now.
And it doesn't even have to be fancy, you know.
Yeah.
You could use that Rubis water bottle you got 2 years
on the walkathon. Yes.
That UbiFit water bottle.
It might not insulate, but it'll keep your water. Yeah. And it's just little things like that. I encourage everybody who's listening now to tomorrow morning take out that water bottle you have in your cupboard, or reuse even a single use one you have in your car for now until you get one, and really take those tiny steps towards really cleaning up our environment.
Yeah, you really see it. Because like what Ava said, like with the family parties and the right. barbecues and any event, when you see the amount of plastic water yeah. bottles just like all over Half the place.
Used.
Yeah. Some of them, yeah, your people Save haven't even drank bags. All. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then when you put all of those in the trash, it's like you have enough to fill a whole
mm-hmm. trash bag
yeah. with water bottles. They take up so much space mm-hmm. in your garbage and in your house and everywhere, right? So cut back. That's like the first step. I think the water bottles are like the first step to cut mm-hmm. back on. Buy, it don't have to be fancy, like Heather said, buy an inexpensive water bottle or put a little fund together to save in your piggy bank to save up for a nice one that you could use.
I mean, every Saturday, you go to any shopping plaza, there's an organization there having some sort of give back. I guarantee exactly. you they have branded water bottles. Yeah. You could even drive around and pick up.
Even the back to school ones, right? And then, you know, some people have back to school for January too, right? And there are a lot of places where you can, yeah, they do. And so there are a lot of places that you can go and just pick up a water bottle or maybe someone, you know, go to the store and instead of asking your parents to buy you like that cool toy, maybe ask for a water bottle,
and
right?
And even to add what we do in our office, we have a lot of cutlery and stuff in the office. You know, if you forget your water bottle, I know for sure you can just go in the cupboard and grab a cup and we do. So it's just like, you have to just make that deliberate step that first time, and then it just becomes a habit.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And so now we're getting into the side of things, but we talk more about community. Ava mentioned it does take a community to kind of foster and cultivate this spirit of, you know, sustainability. We all have to care about it, and we all have to come together to make these decisions for a better country. Right? And a better society. So what steps can community take to reduce plastic waste and prevent pollution at the source?
And at the source, you mean in our homes, maybe, perhaps? What do you mean
at
the source?
Yeah, like, so, like on our the individual level.
So I think one of the things through BeachLink Project that I didn't know until we started organizing and we started looking at the resources, because Brief has a lot of good resources about how to conduct and organize your own beach cleanup. And as we were looking at it with things like how even beach cleanups can also be a way of reintroducing more waste. And there's this, you know, we are hopefully that we'll be able to incorporate a lot more, but bring your own bucket instead of bringing a plastic bag. And I think as we get more coordinated with our waste management resources, we can be able to more effectively utilize that strategy. But I think in your own home, one of the things that I think immediately, we talked about the water bottles, we talked about just being more buying in bulk, right? So there are a lot of single serving items. I know for families that have small children, it's really hard to avoid that because you want to pack lunches, you want to send them with snacks, you need something that is going to be contained and stay in their bag. It really is hard, you know? So I think for what we do at home is we use those, and I'm guilty of it too as well. Prior to making this shift, I was the Ziploc queen. Tupperware, I feel like everyone always steals your Tupperware. Mm-hmm. So, like, you get a Tupperware one day, and then it came in a pack of 32, and now suddenly you only have two, and none of them have lids.
And you just have lids.
Lids. Well, I have the opposite problem. I just have the bowls, and I can't find the lid. So I have to look for, like, foil or something.
And so I used to rely on Ziplocs, but that's plastic, right? Mm-hmm. You can rinse them out and use them a couple of times, but that's directly plastic. And so now they have these containers that are reusable, I can't remember what they're made of, the polyethylene.
Yeah, silicone.
The silicone.
I think I'm a little bit guilty. No, because I have a 5-year-old and I wanted to get one of those. But when I think about, I mean, sorry to say, spending
it's expensive.
$50 to $60 on just expensive. Like two silicone pouches, I just feel like, okay, I'll get that next month.
So what I was saying is that's my dream, right? I feel it's going to go the same exact way of the Tupperware, but I just, it's like, it takes steps to make that cultural shift. So if you invest $60 in about three or four, if they're having a sale, three or four of those Ziploc,
for real,
you better believe that I'm going to be just as on there as I am about the AirPods. Like, do you have your, like, you check it in, check it out, log the container. Yeah. But what I also do, like, for sandwiches, I use parchment and stickers. So I get, like, and in this, you know, and it's like a give or take. So there's, like, paper stickers you can get. Mm-hmm. And I use, like, if you can get a large sheet or like a roll. And this is, you know, it's like everything is waste, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, how do you make it more fun? So I put the sandwiches in parchment instead of using foil or even Tupperware or the plastic sandwich bags. Mm-hmm. And then I tape it so it stays together. And that's been working. I have a 9-year-old and a 16-year-old. My 16-year-old does not take sandwiches. But my 9-year-old has been pretty good. The sandwiches stay intact until lunchtime.
That's awesome.
That's what I'm rocking with right now. But it is a lot of trial and error. Mm-hmm. And it's also, don't feel guilty. Like, because if you're stuck in a feeling guilty, you're not actually making any movement or action. You're just stuck. Mm-hmm. That's just an emotion that is not getting us anywhere. So you have your moment, feel bad about using a Ziploc, and then how are you going to make it up to the planet? You know, like, so if I'm doing this, how am I getting it in other ways? You know, if I'm going to eat KFC, how am I getting my steps? So I think about it sort of like the same way, because I think we have to also understand that this is a global system that we're in, right? And I find that small island developing states, we take so much responsibility and we're doing an nth of the damage, which is good because this is important for us. This is actually our livelihood. But also, the harder it is, or the more you make it about guilt or shame, then the harder it is for you to show up and be present and do the work that needs to be done, right? So even if today you use a straw, or today you forgot your bottle home, you have to buy a water bottle, right? How are you, instead of feeling guilty about it, how are you making it up to the planet? How are you going to go now on the weekend, maybe put in a couple of hours doing a beach cleanup? And one of the things that, you know, to plug Bleachling Project, it's just 4 hours. Like, it's just, you'd be surprised at how much you can collect in just like 30 minutes even. So if you're going to the beach, if you know you're gonna have a beach day, pack something in the car for you to pick up some trash along the way, and at least leave the area that you're at better than how you met it. And then that's just one small drop in the bucket that eventually fills.
You're teaching your kids, you're teaching the people who are on the beach with you, because they'd be like, that's a good idea.
Yes.
I'll do that next time. Nobody wants to go to the beach and trash.
After I've seen someone pick up trash off the beach. Like, you are on the beach enjoying your time, and then you see someone walking down the beach with a bag. You better believe that everything in your immediate area, you're going to pick up and take with you.
That's
true. It's a knock-on effect.
That's true.
Right. And what I like about beach cleanups, once a person invests that sweat equity, they're not going to litter again. And I love that, especially with working a lot of kids. And I would also like to shout out our eco schools who took an initiative to clean up all beaches across New Providence for International Coastal Cleanup Day by using Brief Cleanup Guide. And like I say, Brief has resources, so you don't have to. We accept all calls and guidance, however, but we do have a guide online which gives you all of the steps, as Ava would have mentioned, and how to make your cleanup sustainable. But once you, and I think in the Bahamas we say, once we bend a tree when it's green, or the branch, I may be saying it wrong, but once you bend a tree and it's green, and getting that type of sustainability behavior within kids, they are so good. And they will call out any adult if they see any. And sometimes it's be a little like, oh, because my son would say,
warriors.
You're making Earth sad. Like, he in public to strangers. So, I mean, it's really good when you instill in them those values at a young age.
Yeah, so that's very true. But to the quality, to go back a little bit on the containers, reusable containers, I love the tips, lunch packing tips with Ava. I love the tips. but the quality, even though the container may be $50, right? Mm-hmm. It's made out of a better material. I think people are willing to pay for more of quality. We've seen it, like I said, with the Standy Cups, right? They didn't sponsor the show. we've seen it with those and the other.
I'm wondering if people if people are just living in another reality, because the amount of Stanley Cups I've seen based on the economic numbers, that's, I'm just like, where
that's
is
another
getting,
issue, because
or is there a sale that I missed?
Yeah. So don't get carried away. So I think people, because I've been watching a lot of the stories and in the news about it, don't get carried away with over sustainability.
Yeah,
if I could say it like that, because
don't fall to the hype greenwashing.
Because you end up being what you set out not to be. Mm-hmm. So you can get a Stanley Cup. You don't need 50. Like, one is fine. Use that until, and they last forever. Like, use it until it, yeah, you will probably, it probably outlasts you. So you just need to reuse it, clean it properly, take care of it. And it's the same with other other things. Like, if you buy, if you're paying $50 for a container, I'm pretty sure that should last you a good while, right?
And it can do
so it's an investment.
In it too.
But invest, but don't over consume, because hyperconsumption and overconsumption is what's killing us now. Whether you're using a reusable item or you're using a single use item, if you keep buying it over and over and over and over again, you're filling your garbage fast, you're filling the landfill fast, you're filling the oceans with the 12 million tons of plastic, so we don't need any more, right? So this is something for us to be conscious with. But as we head into the close to the end of the show now, what do you think, and everyone can weigh in on this, but Ava, what do you think the next step should be policy wise for the Bahamas for, plastic reduction?
I think the next step has to be at the regulatory level for businesses. I think we need greater oversight, more watchdogs in terms of ensuring, like you said, you've been seeing this weird looking styrofoam and sort of eco-friendly plastic. I think the next step has to be where, and this is just me in general, I feel as though we have this sort of way that we tax the poor. And so people that are already vulnerable and in sort of vulnerable spaces, the burden of making these radical shifts generally lies on them. So when we made the shift to ban plastics, it was really on the consumer to now have to find alternative means. I need to see, or I would love to see, greater crackdown on the business community in terms of upholding those standards, right? And then great, because I've seen straws, and I see, and you wonder, is there a place that you can call if you see a straw on the street? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Who can I report this to? You know what I mean? So I think that's what I would love to see in terms of policy. I would also like to see greater, and this is another facet of the BeachLink project. We're also extremely concerned, or we're advocating for greater beach access or preservation of beach access for Bahamians. And so I would like to see more policies around that, because we would have a greater appreciation of the beaches if we can access them. Mm-hmm. Some of the best beaches on New Providence, there are great beaches on the Family Islands. Lovely, love them.
For now.
But the majority of our people can't get there. Right? Mm-hmm. We can't get there, and they're being rapidly overdeveloped if we want to be real. But that's a question for another day, economic development and how we go about it as we continue to move forward into the future. But I think in terms of policy right now, considering on plastic, is actually getting serious about regulations and about penalties, but not penalties for the individual, penalties for the institution, for businesses. And greater accountability. So that's what I would be interested in seeing. Mm.
And I like that you spoke about the businesses as well being held accountable. I also think that from a more administrative level for the country, price regulation and control to incentivize the public to use more sustainable, items. I guess it, in a way, it's a deterrent now, because people will be like, the plastic stuff are so expensive, or the styrofoam, not quote unquote, right, styrofoam, right, those things are more expensive. So people will say, ah, we'll just reuse, right? But at the same time, if there is a situation where you're going and you're doing something like, let's say, for elderly people, right, and they're having an event and the elder and sanitation is, you know, is something that you need, or with the masks, right? Because you can't really get around that too much. Then there has to be a way where it is affordable for people to use the alternative things as well, right? They can't be $50 for one bowl.
So basically making conservation accessible for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, yeah, because a lot of times it is stigmatized and it's thrown in a class, right? They say like, oh, that's not for us. That's for people from this class.
Yeah, and right? People are even discouraged to even considering it as something that they can get involved in, because mm-hmm. they see it as a different set of people, when it's an issue that we all face, and we are all going to face the backlash of it when we are faced with these intensifying storms, or we see the effects of
climate change.
This plastic going into our ocean, and our reefs are going to be affected. And so not only are the people mm-hmm. who care about it going to be affected, mm-hmm. everybody's going to be affected in some way if we see a catastrophic event from plastic pollution or another one from the effect of climate change. Yeah.
Exactly. That's a great way to end the show. Thank you so much. We are out of time.
And if I could just plug, you can learn more about the BeachLink project by visiting our social media. On IG, we're BeachLink Bahamas, and our website, beachlink242.com. We have some upcoming partnerships with C.I. Gibson, where we're helping them to host some beach cleanups. And we have our annual beach cleanup for 2025, which will be, again, 10 beaches at the same time across New Providence. And we hope to partner with Brief, and we look forward to keeping this sort of community-minded, community action going. And thank you so much for having us on the show.
Okay, no problem at all. We loved having you here today with us, Ava and Jasmine and Heather. You guys were great. So as our call to action at the end of the show right now is that we're encouraging everyone listening right now to join in on local beach cleanups, reduce your plastic usage, and spread awareness about the harmful impacts of plastic pollution, everything we spoke about on the show today. You can reach us at Brief as well, at brief.org. You can go on our website and contact us. You can also email us at brief@brief.org. And you can follow us on social media at Brief242. That's at BREEF 242. Thank you so much, and we'll see you again next week, same time, same place.